As God continues to guide us this morning, I pray that you will see a direct line between what He has begun to do in revealing Himself in worship and now the Word that's going to come forth and bring understanding and bring life to very specific places where lies and concerns have been. You'll notice we've done things a little different this morning as we know we're in a season of harvest, and this week as a church, as we're in the midst of Lent and we're looking towards a harvest in our own lives and in our church this Easter and resurrection, this week we're dedicating to this theme up here, believe for more. Now obviously, in pop Christianity, television Christianity, more tends to be about cars and money and things like that, but what we're believing for is more of His presence and His glory, more of pleasing Him and knowing Him. And we are having services each night this week, starting tonight at 7 p.m. right here, and then Monday night at 7, Tuesday night at 7. We've brought in a dear friend of ours as part of Cornerstone, Pastor Jay LaRue. He's been a friend of Cornerstone's for a long time. I said in first service, I'm not sure if he's a father of Cornerstone or a crazy uncle of Cornerstone. But he definitely has the gift of faith. 1 Corinthians 12 will talk about the different gifts that the body has. And again, you might have seen on TV prophets and people who have the gift of prophecy or faith, and it tends to be pretty exaggerated and glorified and very cult of personality and tied into money somehow and things like that. But the Bible says that there are people who come into the gift of the church, that they have the gift of faith, that they inspire and stir our faith and cause us to believe for more. And Jay certainly is that part of the body, and you'll notice that very quickly as we're together. And I want to encourage you, even in the midst of whether today or tonight in services, there are times in the midst of a service he'll stop and speak a word to somebody. And it won't be lotto numbers or, you know, somebody's safe combination. It'll be words based on the scripture about what the Lord's heart is for that person. And you'll recognize that as that happens throughout the week. But I want to encourage you not to just live out this week in a normal routine, although you certainly have normal obligations, but to take some time this week and really ask the Lord about these evening services and the chance to be here and to ask God to begin to stir up and plant in you something more. There is child care every night, starting tonight, newborn to 10 years old every night. So parents, there should be the ability to hopefully in some manners, some ways, free you up to be here. And we're going to take our regular tithes and offerings right now. At the end of the service, we are going to take a special love offering for Jay and Linda just to provide a little bit for their transportation, their expenses, and the gifts we hope to give to them. And so at the end, this isn't that offering, but just for your tithes and offerings now. And you'll notice the bulletin. I need everybody to raise their right hand right now. Repeat after me. I promise to actually read the bulletin. Okay, you're done. All right, that's the announcements. You're going to have to read them. As the ushers come forward, these tithes and offerings are, if you're a first-time guest with ours, this isn't for you. This is just our church family. Feel free just to receive and continue to take in. But as the Lord is growing you as a home church, here as a home church, feel free to give your tithes and offerings. And we are in this season of Lent where we've made a commitment and challenged every member of the church to tithe the full 10% during this time, fully give themselves to worship and servanthood, to continue to pray that prayer. Bend me, use us, glorify your name. So may this be extension of the way that you're growing in the Lord this morning. Father, we just thank you for this offering. We would ask that you would bless it. And as we begin, Lord, we just pray that you would prepare us for your word as you so clearly have during worship. We ask now that you bless these gifts and that, Lord, we would do it with joy and, Father, with great faith as we, Lord, submit all that we are to you with obedience, with clarity and understanding. Lord, we ask for your anointing on the word, and we commit, Lord, that all of who we are is open to your word and your ways. In Christ's name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Thank you, ushers. Jay will do more than enough to introduce himself. So would you welcome Jay LaRue?
So good to be here again this morning. Please, I encourage you, don't miss, and if you do have to miss a night, please get that particular CD. If I was going to share anything critically important to us as a people, it certainly is this weekend. Many things that I've held so deep in my heart and just have not shared at all because it just wasn't the time frame. And also portions of the scriptures that are to somewhat mysterious, but very, very important to us. Before I begin, though, is the better half of Jay LaRue is here. She, without question, is my earthly passion, no doubt. Above everything, my heavenly one is someone else, and she would say the same thing. But this is my baby, grandmother of six, my honey, my sweetheart, my still got it going here. Yeah. Linda, Stan, honey. Looking good. Oh. Sorry. I'm not doing a marriage conference for another month. I'm just getting ready, you know. If you have your Bibles, please. It was so good this morning to hear pages turning. I love that about this church. Luke chapter 17. As you're turning, let me just give some brief intro. I live here. So I love when I talk to Pastor Sean and we get together, and he's got this vibe that I love. And even yesterday we were just talking about his passion for the centrality of Jesus Christ. And even on the front of your bulletins is him being first and foremost. Believe it or not, that is not a church passion in the day we're living in, but it's changing. I'm longing for this and believing for this and continue to believe for this more. It is important for us, though, as we believe for more, what the more is. And this week I want to, if I can, I will, let us understand why he called us, where he has taken us. That we might understand him and his realm and this dimension and this awesome God and this kingdom that we have been called to and its greatness and the might and the power and the strength of it. I've got to understand this dimension that God has brought us to, this kingdom that we say, let this kingdom come to earth. I want us to understand and see our time together, what this kingdom is about, what you and I are to see, what you and I are to partake of, what you and I are to experience, all of us. Before we ever enter the world, before we ever walk in the world, I didn't know it. I understand it. It's easy to walk down here in Chesta and in Richmond. And in New York or Connecticut or Los Angeles, wherever we might be, San Antonio, New York, Long Island. It's easy to look in this world and hear its raging sea and its shout in the news and the desperation that we all sense and feel. It's easy to believe for more when you know who and what the more is, and to know his heart passion for our world. He is not withdrawn from her. He is not angry with her. He longs for a people who just might be willing to believe. Every generation, it has been his passion. He is not, though many might think, a one generation final day kind of God. Oh no, he's generational. But he's always looked for a people who just might be willing to believe him. I believe I'm talking to that people. Luke chapter 17. Verse 34 through 37. Oh, listen to those pages. I love it. I'm not getting this. Just to thank you for that. A book. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, the other left. And two men shall be in the field, and one shall be taken, the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither, great King James word, there will the eagles, it should be translated eagles, not vultures. That is something that we are by the declaration of God, where the eagles be gathered together. The epistle to the Colossians, to the right of our Bibles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 13. Beautiful. You can use the index too. All the words are gone from mine because I overused it. Verse 13. Beautiful verse. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Hebrews chapter 12, and we will remain there this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. The writer compares two mountains. I'm going to not read the early portion, but pick it right up on verse 22. He's comparing first Mount Sinai. These Hebrew listeners understood how fearful Mount Sinai was the first time the Lord had moved into the earth. Verse 22. But you are come unto Mount Zion. Verse 22, chapter 12. But you are come, present and past. You are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Let's pray. Yeah. Father, I thank you so for, and as I said this morning and last night, what a honor it is for us to be a part of, whether father, uncle, or just brother. Thank you for the great honor and blessing bestowed upon Linda and I to be a part of such a great people. These pastors and their families are great, great leadership. Father, I pray this morning and these days coming, let our eyes be opened and let us behold you. Let a belief in you enter us all that goes beyond expectation, goes beyond even our wildest imagination. Can we come to exceedingly abundantly above these days. But the revelation of the Word and the living Word come to us, each with a spirit of wisdom and revelation this morning. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Something transpired in my life and in yours. I want to bring us here for a moment. I was 22. My hair was long. I was dating my wife. She looks just as good now as then, and I've changed a little. Gravity has pulled on me big time. Pulled my hair out. Thankfully, there was a Vin Diesel, and I can wear this look. So at 22, she gets born again and going to a Catholic Charismatic Prayer Group, and she was inviting me to it, but I didn't have time for that. I was on top of my game, man. I was loving life. So she encouraged me greatly by what she would call divinely nagging me to death. And I finally gave in, as I'm much smarter now. It doesn't take as long. And I went to this prayer group, and they were weird, man. Yeah, a couple of them wore a big cross. It was Catholic Charismatic. It was in the bottom of the church. And, you know, they were raising their hands and speaking in some, I don't know what that was. And I sat in the back in our tank tops, me and three guys, because I wasn't going anywhere without some posse. After that, I need some backup just in case they thronged on me or something. Who knows what they were going to do. But man, that atmosphere, 22 years old, I couldn't help but just say yes to him. 34 years ago, I'm 56, I'll be 57 this year. Loved every minute, but something happened. I didn't know. It happened to me, it's happened to us. You heard what I read in Luke, and Jesus explaining to them, and that there will be two in one bed, one shall be taken, the other left. You see, my brother and I slept in a bunk bed. You know what that is. Two in one bed. Well, what happened at 22, my brother was 21, was the Lord took me and left my brother. My brother came in 4 years ago. I'm happy for that. But here we were, two. As a matter of fact, on the other side of the room was my baby sister and my other sister. I'm the oldest of four. And my youngest sister, the Lord took her 2 years after he took me, but left my sister. And he said, where were they taken? And Jesus says, to the body. That's where the eagles are gathered. And then Paul begins to illustrate it that we were in a kingdom of darkness. Well, it didn't seem dark to me, but evidently it was. You know now, because my eyes were open. And he translated me. What a word. It means instantly moved me, transported, if you will. He took me from the kingdom of darkness and immediately put me in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear son. Here's what I did not know. He brought us to Mount Zion. Now, Mount Zion, for our biblical scholars, is true. It is another name for the city of Jerusalem, the Temple Mount. It really is the spiritual declaration of what Jerusalem was always to be. It is a spiritual place. And God has brought us there. If you don't mind, I want to separate something for us this morning. And I will continue. Here will be the earth. Everyday life. Work, life, home, everything. Here will be this Mount Zion. You with me? Yes, no, yes. You're good. Just want to make sure. So what happened was, I didn't know. I got born again. He took a seed of heaven, of himself, the potential of all that he is, all that heaven is, the purples, the blues, the crimsons, all of it, and he put it in us. We are born from above of an incorruptible seed. I didn't know. And he transported us, translated us into Mount Zion. I had no idea. The writer of Hebrews describes it. You have, not will, not someday. Yes, there will be an ultimate city that will come out of the heavens. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. We've been brought to the city of God who is alive. He sits upon His throne. He is there. He longs for us to behold His face and to know the greatness of the glory of His throne. We have come. Yes, we're embryonic. The sad thing is for us to stay embryonic. Nothing worse for me than changing the diaper of a 40-year-old. It's messy. But you know how it is for a baby. I love them. I mean, you can poke them in the eye. They'll just... You can stick your finger in there. They'll just be like... They're just starting to learn their environment. Are you hearing me? You see, He has brought us here. Every one of them. It wasn't for apostles and prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. It's not for some special people. Oh, no. We're going to find out there's someone here who paid a great price that all that are His would know here. You have come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. For a moment, please stay with me. The Bible's very descriptive of the heavenly Jerusalem. Yes, it will one day come, but we will be there, and we are there. In its midst flows a river. It flows from the throne and from the Lamb. The river is crystal clear. It is the life of God. And He said, whoever thirsts, let him drink. Every day, you and I could drink from a river that flows from God. Every day, full of this river. In the midst of it, there is a tree of life. And it has fruit. Its leaves are for the healing of the nations. We are to eat of this place. And when we enter the earth, we come with healing that this world absolutely needs. I didn't know I was brought to such a place. I was spending all of my life there trying to find Him when He had already brought me here to behold Him. In this city is no curse, no hurt. He will wipe away all pain. Every single day, pain is inflicted on all people. But not all people can come here. Not all people even know about it. We can enter into the door and find grace and mercy. We can live here. And every day He will wipe away the tear. He declares that here I make all things new. Every day I live here and I move into the earth. All things are brand new. It was always supposed to be like that for us. It is where He has brought us. City of the living God. I love the word living God. That's why I get down here and I say, excuse me, who's your God? Dead. How do you know, Jay? I'm not afraid to say, because I've seen it. Ooh, you're special. No, I'm just one of the group. You want to come? I'm just one of the nation that He has set in America. This holy nation, this royal priesthood, who are to demonstrate and show forth His praises. They are connected to Him. They live with His passion. They, with His heart, beat in the earth. They are His. He has purchased them, and they are a possession of His. He longs that He would be our possession. He has translated us to Mount Zion. I love this place. I've got to be here more than once a day. I've got to see Him. The city has provision that I can't even begin to touch. It has these dimensions of 12 all through it. It is His government in all dimensions. There was clear that the increase of His government would have no end. He's not governing me so that I walk in the earth. Oh, look at that, must be a Christian. Look at him. He doesn't even look anywhere. Oh, no, no. You don't understand. His government feeds you. Yeah, the world could send a flood and you just jump over. Yeah, yeah. What is that, a mountain? Sweet. Then you hear a little Caleb spirit. Give me that mountain. Shut up, Caleb. You're 100. You shut up. I'm not believing the commercials. I don't believe in pills or extra insurance. I'm going for the mountain. Or you don't hear the flood. I'm 50 years old. I shouldn't even be walking. Are you 50? I'm watching TV. Yeah. You need more insurance. How is your health? I don't know. It's bad. I know it's bad. Once I start that, I got to get right back here again. How's my health? Oh, yeah. Eat the tree. Drink the water. Behold Him. Yeah. I'm ready. You have come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable company of angels. What do the angels do here? You see, the fallen one, the demonic, that whole side, they understand this dimension. Here, this place is full of glory. It's the atmosphere God lives in. And these angelic beings, they do not do it down here. That's us there. Here, they give Him glory. Isaiah's vision will be clear. One will say to another, because they see Him, holy, holy, holy. And the other one will turn and say, holy, holy, holy. And they'll look and another one will hear them. It isn't that they need an orchestra. It isn't that they need to get ready. Oh, no, no. The Lamb and Him who sits upon the throne is in the midst. You can't help but to say, holy, 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 great and mighty is our God. We're just simply to carry that here. This is to be our experience. It's my longing for all of these musicians, psalmists, writers, to see Him, hear this. You have come to the General Assembly. I'm in the 23rd verse. You with me? I'm watching my clock. I'm doing good. The General Assembly is this, the Church of the Firstborn. It's the people who've come up to have a festival. Now, you're not going to see them. I'm not supposed to see them. They're here, though. One of them leads John around later. But they're up here having a party. That's why I'm like I am. I don't understand. How come? Hey, how's Monday morning for you? Same as Sunday morning. Same as Thursday, Saturday, Wednesday. What do you mean? Yeah, it's Monday. Yeah, but I came from a festival. I came from a victorious celebration. I came from a place that knows the victory belongs to the Lord. I try to get around my Latino people just to get some hip movement. Nothing. It's like a piece of steel. I got a little bit of, I said Travis is my brother, in case you didn't know. Yeah. On the outside, I'm white, but on the inside, yeah, that's right. On the outside, he's black. On the inside, you got to determine that. I'm not sure if he's here. Yeah. We understand that. He's my brother. Same father. All of us, same father. Same Father. The Church of the Firstborn, it is the called out ecclesia of the firstborn. He knows, he's talking about Jesus. He was the firstborn of this new breed. He was the first of a kind. He was the first of a people who would live in every generation. He was the first of a people who would be salted around the world. Yeah, our people are in China. They're in Afghanistan. They're in Vietnam. They're in Africa. They're in South America. They're not only here, but they're in Richmond. And they're in Los Angeles. And they're in Alaska. He has salted them all over the world. But they are one nation. And they're to be the light of the world. Not just a candle, if they so choose a candle. But He wants a city set upon a hill. Undeniable. And He longs to have the passion, daring to believe for more. Yeah! You can't hear the kids yelling. I'm with them. Church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all. Let me just for a moment. I'm just about done. That's the scary thing, even for us. God, the judge. See, when I got up here, I wasn't really interested in a new father or a judge, really. I was kind of afraid. I thought he had fiery eyes and this long beard, and it was Clint Eastwood in disguise. He talked like Darth Vader, but he had the Clint Eastwood look, sitting on his throne. I'll tell you, Jay gets one more time. But the blood is getting thin. I'm tired of him looking at him over there. He never does what I want. Doesn't he know my will? Look at how old he is. He's still like a child. And I'm walking around here. I'm trying to. Oh, no. He's there. I'm beholding him. I'm being transformed into an image. Here's what it is. I know it here. Here we learn it. He is the one who weighs out the character and the integrity of every individual. He is the one who will reward accordingly. That's the language. So I know that when I'm walking in this earth, I want to be great for Linda. Please, I want to be a great husband. I want to be a great father. I want to be a great grandfather. I want to be able to speak with clarity. I don't want you to pat me on the back, though I appreciate it. I need it. I'm human. But I'm not interested in being fame or greatness, not at all. But I am interested in turning a world upside down. I am interested in His preeminence again. I am interested in not just the glory of God being here in this church or in Richmond or in the United States. I want it to fill the earth. That's the prophetic promise. That's what I'm looking for. But I know when I walk on this earth, there's one person who ultimately judges me. It's Him. I'm not afraid. He loves me no matter what. I want to please Him. I want to be good. I don't care what it costs. He is worth it all. And through Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, we'll begin tonight with Him. But it's here in this initial place of understanding. It was Him. The Father never asked of me or you. The Father and the Word, they made covenant, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and they beheld His glory, and He lived out a life totally human. He walked out the life of God so that we would know. He could have at any moment said, I'm done with this. Jay's not worth it. Sean's not worth it. Sarah's not worth it. Linda's not worth it. This is too much. I mean, even the ones I came for refused me. Even the ones I love refused me. I've had it. Oh, no. You see, He came from here. He had the passion of the Father. He had the love of the Father. He loved the Father more than Himself before He ever came. And when He walked it out, we knew it. And it's clear when I'm here, I understand Jesus. He is the mediator and this covenant we are in, and my physical body, He was beaten for it. They bled Him for my sin. They hit Him for my peace and my iniquity. He loved us more than anything. He is here, and His blood still speaks. Not like the blood of Abel, who cried vengeance into the ear of God, and He said to Cain, your brother's blood cries out. Oh no, this blood cried then and continually cries, Father, forgive them. No matter what Jay does, how is this possible? How do I live guilt free? I look in the faces of people who are my friends, who aren't saved, and wear and tear on their bodies because they're guilty. How do I don't know what to say to them. I flubbed up real bad this morning. I lied, or I ran a stop sign, or I was speeding and I really didn't mean it. And I just go, Father, forgive me. Done. Yeah, but what about done? Well, I remember done. And then when I come back here, listen, all things become new. Though my outward man perisheth, my inward man is renewed day by day. If we want to come here once a year, it's your choice. If we want to come once a day, it's your choice. A door was set open to us. I choose to live there. I'm staying here. Oh, this makes me more earthly good, please. I need to be here. Otherwise, I just become Jay. And Jay, but Jay, drinking and eating and breathing this dimension, I long for us to say to the world, show us the Father. And we will say, just like the firstborn among us, don't you get it? When you see us, the Lord has set the course. You've been faithful to walk in it. You've been faithful to tread upon it. Even when the bridge was crickety, even when those who were with you pulled out planks, you still stayed the course. Even when they came accusing and saying, are you sure about what you're doing? Are you sure? Where is your heart? Is it divided? All of those years, those times, every decade from your 20s, your 30s, and your 40s, and your 50s, all were challenges to stay faithful to the heavenly vision, even when it was contrary to what some thought, even when it was not really looked upon and frowned upon, even when you were pushed aside and those who said they were your brothers moved away from you, even then you stayed the course and remained faithful. You do not know how much the Lord was measuring it. You do not know how He was holding it dear to Himself. You do not know how He viewed it. You do not know. God is coming in this hour as you run this last leg of the race. It is yet years to be. He is not setting a finish line of a certain time and age. I've already mentioned the spirit of Caleb and the early days of Joshua. God is returning them to you. And even now you're contemplating about expanding and moving into a new direction. God is going to make a way. He will cause not a door to be opened, but He will make a way through the wilderness, and He will command the mountain that has so opposed you to be lifted and gone, and God will make the provision, that mountain that has stood there, He will bring it, and He's going to release within you. Even this week, as I'm sharing some things, you've held some of the revelation and some of the things dear to your heart. I know your son. I know that the wealth and the depth of him, that's me talking, I know the depth and the wealth. I know the word, yes, Wayne had a time in it, but it was the planting of the two of you. My sister, God has heard the cry and the passion toward the heaven. Lord, do in my family what you promised. Do in my family what you've promised. And my sister, they have come up, and the Lord has waited on many things, but this is the hour of the return of your cry. This is the day and the hour that He will take what has been declared and what you have asked of Him. There's been groaning nights, even when you were separated, more so than you are happy with Him. But even for Him, you've cried out, God, do something with my children and my grandchildren. I want you to have your way. Lord, don't cause them to be, don't let Jacob's life happen to them. Don't hit them. Don't have to bring them to a place that they have to be so touched by you. You understand it. You don't want any of them to have to go through difficulty. You've known. Your heart's cry is, Lord, we have plowed. We have sown. Let them reap. Well, I'm telling you, my sister, God is laying a sickle in all of them, especially in his life. I'm going to say something to him in just a moment. But God is switching things and causing a sickling. You do not know that you're planting over the decades, that God is commanding the seed to germinate and commanding the wheat and the barley and the wine. He's commanding the vineyard to grow. And God will cause, you will begin to drink to a degree of what you've worked for and what you've planted, but God is holding it for their day and for your grandchildren's day. Continue to cry. Even now, God strengthens you, my sister, in your middle, down in your hip, into your back, strengthening you, down and through your legs, that you will be able to run the race again. You run it with heart passion, but physically it has worn you out because of people and things that were said, and you're very sensitive to people's words. He's like him a little bit. Yeah, yeah, okay. But he lays on his face and says, God, help me with this. But you bear it, you hear it, and you wear it. But God is commanding the words that have attempted to stain you, just like Zechariah seen in the vision of Joshua standing before the Lord. He has commanded the satanic and the words to end, to cease, to stop. And this day, God declares freedom from every yesterday to your life, and will cause you to begin to drink of a spiritual dimension. You've longed for it. That's why he's got this cry for Pentecost. He has this cry. You have longed and laid your hand on the plow all of your life, both of you, to see the return of the Spirit of the living God in purity. It has been your cry. And God has reckoned it to his ear and to his heart. And he will not let one word, one prayer, one sacrifice go by the wayside. He has kept them all. Answer everyone. This is the day of turning and of change. That's why it's amazing he's here. When I see you introduce me to him, I thought, okay, let's roll. Yeah. I did it more like this. Give me five. Big guy. Yeah. No, I don't really do that to him, but I think he's cool. He loves all this stuff. He does. This is the change. We talked about it. It wasn't that you had your hand on the plow, but you've always been a yoked man. Never have you fought over the yoking or caused it to be a rub. Even when I look at you in dimensions of spirit, no rub here. Amazing. I see a lot of young men who are associate pastors under shepherds, and I see the rub on their neck like this from the pulling of the harness to the one they're harnessed with. And I say to them, how you doing? They say, fine. I want to say to them, don't lie to me, but I won't do that. They're trying. But God, when he brought you here, he brought a young man pliable. He brought a wineskin pliable. And you were willing for the Lord to adjust the wineskin. Three times he killed it, then he raised another one. Three times in the years you've been here, it got so difficult you were uncertain, but you chose him over anything else. Know yourself. And this is the day, my brother, that God releases you from. It wasn't an iron. It was really clear as crystal, but it was a yoke. It isn't a bad thing. It's a training thing. This is the day, this is the beginning, where he unfastens the yoke and he sets you as not his oxen, but he sets you as a man with a sickling iron. Please hear this. God has laid a sickle in your hand. It is solid gold and the handle of it is brass. Please hear. Always very significant. The brass handle is one that has been tested, one that has been tried. Not everybody can handle that. Our lives have been upon the plow. Your parents' lives have been upon the plow. But you, my young brother, are going to have a sickling iron. This is the day of sickling for this church. This is the day to declare that the fields are white. Look unto them. They are white. 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 I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the church world says. Even Jesus, when he said it to them, he says, white? Are you kidding me? Rome rules the world. How is it possible? Jesus always saw everything from this perspective down. Always. He could view everything from here. He had the eyes of God. He had the clarity of seeing. He had, if you will, eagle eyes. And my brother, God is going to strengthen you. This is the beginning of a new framework. Even as I look at you, you are transfigured. Right as I see you with the sickle iron, you are changing. You are one thing and you're changing into another. You're between this time season, between this time. This whole year is going to be the transformation. He is already seeding your heart and spirit with fresh seed of his word and of his spirit. And even your cry, though it's been a cry, he will cause it to be a travail. And both of you, you and Sarah, will begin to move into another place of dimension in God. Even your children are going to move to another place in God. And your whole household is going to be changed. It is now white. But God is causing a clear water to be within your household. As I stand in your house now and I look at it, it is clear as crystal water. I know where it's from. It's this river that flows from him. Many people drink of a fountain. Many people drink of a spring. Not many seek and long for the river of God. We say it, that it would flow. And God is causing it to flow into your home. And the girls and your young son will begin to drink of it as if it was air, but it'll be like water. It won't drown them, but it'll immerse them in God's heart and plan. And this is the beginning of him moving upon the two of you to believe the very things I've declared over your parents and to your family as well. God will set you as watchmen in this moment that you would believe what he has declared he will do. come into your time. That's right, we have tonight. Please, I've just laid a small brick. I want to take us back tonight and the nights after. You won't be bored. But I want the revelation of this one who has come. He appears to the church so distant, so aloof. Oh no, a great price was paid that His people might behold Him and see Him. He wants us to be as He is. That's always been His cry. It's always been His passion. Stand with me. I'll close. Please. My young friend over here, I'm sorry, I don't want to do this, you know, it's all over. It's going to be like this for these few, so it's not a problem for me. But my young friend, please understand that you're in a transitional time in your life. You're between time. You're not a young man, but you are a young man yet still. And your heart is strong, and you're a man of real integrity. You are. You're a man that has made stand. You're a man who's not afraid to stand. It's not just because of your size, but He's made you strong. You could have been a military guy. That's just how He's built you. You're made for that kind of character. But God, my friend, is going to begin to move upon you to set you on your course toward the kingdom of God. He will release things in the world for you that have been very tight and uncertain. He will do that. But He's allowed the tightness so that He might get a hold of you. You know the beautiful thing about being squeezed, that everything always pops upward. I never liked it until I realized that He was just trying to get me upward. And I thought, how often do I have to be squeezed? I don't like this much. And then I started to look up sooner. Okay. But it was so that I could see that my redemption drawed nigh. It was so that I could look upon Jesus who began it, who will finish it. That I could see Him who's gone before me. So I could see Him who's endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. I needed to see Him. And dude, God is arranging for you to behold Him and for you to see Him. That you would choose Him in every aspect of your life, not just in sound, but in every aspect. Why? Because He intends for you to have such an effect upon your generation especially. You're that type of guy because people see you. You're likable, but you're strong. They know it. If they need someone, they can count on you. But you are desperately in need of God to visit you and God to declare Himself strong. That this just not be religion. See, you can't really do that, though you are. That's not good for you. You want it real and you want the whole deal. And that's why He's about to unveil Himself, that you can behold Him. And the sound will be just part of your life. But you will be one of those who will stand in this wall and be willing to see the fullness of God built. You're part of this DNA. You're part of this age group that will stand and see God do His work. You're part of the next tier of men that will be willing to be burden bearers, that will be willing to sacrifice it all for Him. But be aware, God will give you more than you could try to get yourself. That's what you need to know. Because you do. Always. Since you were young, your mother would hit your hand and say, supper's coming, you'll get a piece. Just to release you to know that you can trust Him in a level that you have not been able to. Just one hand up, if you will. Now I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. This is my thing. Is I want to know you. I want to see you. This sounds terrible, but it is the only hope. But I'm telling you, what a hope it is. We were never to live like this. We were never to be this. We were destined overcomers. We were destined to be eagles, destined to be oxen, destined to be lions. We were to live with the glory of God in the earth. We are to live with demonstration of His power at every level. In children's church right now, if a young girl's out there dying, one of those young girls will lay their hands upon her, raise her from the dead. That's us! Father, we ask for more. We believe for more. More of you. Not your hand, though we love it. We seek your face. Father, thank you for that. them. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm not going to try to add too much more to that. God's working in His own way. I would say that the stirring in your heart to hear God's word for you, don't ignore that. God is purposely trying to stir up a hunger and a faith for more of His word, to believe that He has a word to speak to you. And what Jay did as he spoke of being up here in the heavenly place and being that place of the kingdom of God every day, he said, you can visit there once a year or once a day if you want. And I want to encourage you that the purpose, I'm not trying to be programmatic. I'm not trying to be, I'm not trying to do a leadership thing. I'm just telling you, the Lord chooses times when He invites His people to more. And this is one of those times. And so I pray that you allow what God has begun this morning, that you will allow the rhythm of this week, the choices of your heart, to say, Lord, I want to come and visit. As much whether it's in services here, in your own times. When we had the men's service last night, we just had this time where I just shared with the men. I said, I believe that if you'll give them your 5 loaves, 2 fish this week, I feel like God's saying that if you'll believe me for more, I will show you this week what more looks like. But then we have to be willing to submit ourselves to it. So I just want to invite you, what's stirring up in your heart, let it continue. I want to take just 2 family moments, if I may. Again, 7 p.m. tonight. As a matter of fact, just for a moment, and I don't mean to bring you up and down, but if you'd be seated just for a moment. We do want to take a love offering for Jay. And so it's not something you have to do. But if the Lord would place it on your heart to be part of blessing Jay as he's serving us all week long, the Lord might put on your heart just a gift to include. I'm just going to invite you to prepare for that right now, if you would. And I would also invite you to take your connection card, if you haven't already turned that in with the prayer requests. You've kind of heard something new that has shaped your prayers now. I'm going to invite you to take that connection card and to tear it off. And if there's something you need to respond to, whether just in prayer, or whether as a visitor you haven't had a chance to turn in your information, you can turn that in with this offering. But as we do this, I want to just invite you to continue to believe for more. I want to have one more family moment. And Clifton, where are you? Clifton. Many of you, some of you know Clifton and Penny, his wife, and Penny has been a faithful servant of the church for decades. And about 5.5 months ago, Penny began a fight with pancreatic cancer. And Penny was a faithful nursery worker, and there are many people in this room, she changed your diapers over the years. And Penny went home to be with the Lord on Friday. Went home to be Friday night, she received her reward. And we're not at the point yet where we know when the memorial is going to be. Probably going to be about 1 or 2 out based on when family can come. But I want you to know, as part of the church family, to be lifting up Clifton in prayer. And also to be celebrating what God has done. Everything that we just talked about, that we have a choice to do now, Penny gets to live in every moment of every day. And we rejoice with her. And as you just are preparing for this offering, we're just going to take a moment to pray over it and to pray a blessing on Clifton as he walks through this time. Precious part of our church family. Just trying to give you a moment to prepare. And it looks like everybody is. If you would just again stand. We're just going to have a moment of prayer and worship. Ushers, would you come forward? Father, we are thankful for the words that you are stirring. And Father, we would declare this morning, it's only a beginning. Lord, let us feed this hunger. Lord, let us know the hunger and cause us to come and visit in the heavenly places with passion and diligence. Lord, tonight at 7 or even just once we get home, however it looks, Lord, call us, O Lord. We are hungry for you and we are hungry for more of you. Father, we ask your blessing on this offering as a joyful gift. And Lord, as we also turn in our prayer requests and our decision cards, we would ask, Lord, that you would move among us and continue, Father, to direct our path. Lord, I would also pray for the one this morning who has not accepted you, who does not know the experience of being born again and transported into that beautiful part of the kingdom of God. As we're praying, I just feel real led as we just continue to pray this moment. If you're here this morning and you've not accepted Christ as your Lord Savior, you've not been born again into the Spirit of God, I want to invite you to make that decision this morning, to believe for more right now in your life. If you're here and you've not made that decision to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, begin a new life in the Spirit and in the kingdom of God, I don't want you to leave today and not know how to get to that heavenly place, to not go to that place that strengthens you and is always faithful to you. Whether you've been in church before in the past, but there is a real call to give your life to Christ, to be born again today, I'm going to ask you right now, if you just lift a hand and just lift an eye towards me so I know that you'd make that decision this morning. I just want to encourage you, teenager, visitor, person who's been here before, are you just today, do you need to make that decision? Don't leave that without that decision today. Pray the Lord continue to speak to your heart. Father, we love you today. We thank you for the decisions that are being made and the faith that you're stirring. Lord, may you feed it like a fire in us. Bless this offering. Lord, bless Clifton as he walks through this time. Be with his family. Father, may the joys of all that we know we can visit be, and all that Penny has now, may they comfort Clifton and guide him in these days. May legacy be left through Penny and all of us for the glory of Jesus. We worship you now. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Let's take a moment of worship as the ushers collect the offering and the decision cards. Joining again together at 7. There'll be child care from 0 to 10. Pray that the Lord will give you the grace to join as we continue to believe for more. Father, we go with the prayers that you have taught us, with the examples of the psalm and the prayer of this season, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May the words of my mouth, and the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And in the season of harvest and believing for more, we say these 7 simple words. Bend me, use us, glorify your name. God bless you as you go.